Stop. Stop. Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
It's Saturday night. This is the Saturday night edition of the Hour of Truth, the State Sovereignty Show, brought to you by Missouri Grassroots Coalition on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Dave, as always, on Saturday night. This is night three of the Million Dollar Okay, somehow or another, I got disconnected. Am I back? I think I'm back. So we're not asking for a lot of money. We're asking for a $10 donation from 100,000 people. Now, 10 times 100,000, if you'll flash back to elementary mathematics, is $1 million. It's not about the money. It's not about the $1 million even. It's not about the $10 even. It's about the message. It's about the message that is sent when 100,000 $10 bills appear in the campaign coffers of, Jeff Middlehauser, who's being opposed by Stanley Cox in a primary for, of all things, a circuit judge seat. Now, if you can imagine, in the first place, you got the Stanley Cox problem. It's a problem because he's Stanley Cox. In the second place, you've got the ethics and the morality, the political morality of a person of Stanley Cox's disposition, sitting on a circuit judge bench, all reasons to say no. Now, you got Mike Moon here. Mike Moon, you want to talk about some important legislation. You want to talk about some liberty-loving legislation. This is Mike Moon, the author and sponsor of Anti-Common Core legislation. This is Mike Moon, the author and sponsor of the legislation to get Missouri involved in the Convention of the States. This is Mike Moon, who attended the first Convention of the States conference in Mount Vernon. This is Mike Moon, who introduced an article of impeachment, the only article of impeachment introduced that had real merit, that challenged the governor for denying a quarter million Missourians of their representation at the seat of power. You want to talk about all the other important legislation that went on. You want to talk about Anti-Common Core, for example, if that's your thing. You want to talk about the reduction in income tax, if that's your thing. You want to talk about the override of the income tax cut, if that's your thing. You want to talk about Second Amendment Preservation Act, if that's your thing. You want to talk about arming the teachers, if that's your thing. All things that were important, all things that set before the just recently dismissed legislative body, causes me to say that Mike Moon's 1476 was the most important piece of legislation. Well, if you're one of a quarter million Missourians who didn't even have a voice in those other pieces of important legislation, you get it. If you're one of a 250,000 Missourians who for the entire legislative session didn't have a voice in Jefferson City, were taxed without representation, then you get it. You get why this is the most important. This was the most important piece of legislation to be introduced in the House of Representatives this legislative session. We are talking about people who had no voice in their government. We are talking about a governor who wantonly, willfully, and maliciously denied over 250,000 sovereign Missouri citizens their voice in the government, who didn't even have a vote in those other important pieces of legislation. Now, I'll tell you what, we're just entering the primaries, first Tuesday in August. I'm sitting in my living room today watching the Cardinal baseball game, and the Cardinals are behind 1-0, and what I'm doing is kind of half watching it. My wife calls me, and I come running into the living room when the Cardinals come up to bat, and then I'm kind of cleaning the office today and straightening things out because I do eventually get to a point here at this desk where I can't find a pencil to write with. So I'm cleaning up some of the clutter and straightening up, and she'll say, okay, the Cardinals are coming up, and so I'll run on into the living room, and I'll sit down there and watch the Cardinals bat. And then in the third inning, because the Cardinals were behind 1-0 from the first inning. And then in the third inning, the Cardinals scored, and they went ahead 3-1. And so I sat there after that and watched the Braves have a bat. And when the Braves finished batting, then I got up and I came in and I started cleaning on the office. And I told my wife to call me when the Braves come back up to bat. She said, don't you mean the Cardinals? And I said, no, I want to see the Braves bat because you know what happens when the Cardinals are batting. When the Cardinals are batting, the game isn't going to change, is it? No matter what the Cardinals do, when they finish batting, they'll still be ahead. It might be 3-1, it might be 10-1, but at the end of their turn to bat, they're still going to be winning. Call me when the Braves are at bat, because if anything happens to change the game, it's going to happen while they're at bat. What does this have to do with it? Well, it has this to do with it. We're headed into the primary season, brothers and sisters, and we're behind. We're up to bat, and we're behind. If the game's going to change, it's going to change while we're up at bat. And we are only up at bat during the primary race. Listen, if you're a Republican, if you're a Libertarian, if you're a Constitution Party person, if you're a liberty-loving American, by the time we get to the general election, it's all over. Who you're going to vote for is decided. It's that point where we decide who's on our side of the ticket. It's that point where we decide who represents us in the election against the socialist fascists. That's where our at-bat occurs. It's right here in this primary where you get to choose between business as usual, the constitutional republic. Once the primary is over, everything's decided for you. Everything's decided for your Democratic friend. Everything's decided for your Republican friend. Everything's decided for your Constitution Party friend. The only thing that's not decided is the outcome, of course, between those bodies. But who you're going to vote for at that point is decided. Or maybe you're just going to stay home. It's right here. It's right here in this primary where you get to say, no, I don't want you, Stanley Cox. We're done with you. No, I don't want you, Julie Rizika. We're sticking with the guy who stood up for us. Right now is when it matters. The primary. This is where we make the tough decisions. This is where we shine or strike out. Right here. Right now. You know, the basic foundational principle of the government of the United States, of the sovereign people's government, of the government of the sovereign, the cooperative of the sovereign states, of the sovereign statehood of Missouri, the basic foundational principle of that is representation in the government. Now, if you listened to me last night, you're going to hear some of the same things right now because we have new listeners tonight. But that's all right. Preaching to the choir is what we need once in a while, you know? You don't save people at church. You keep the choir in shape at church. It's out there in the streets where the hard work is done. We're not here to save people. We're here to keep ourselves invigorated. We're here to keep ourselves in check. We're here to keep ourselves riled up and pissed off. That's what we're here for. Our number is 347-677-1835. 347-677-1835. Our good friend Lucy is standing by to take your call, to take your pledge, and to let you through to the studio if that's your desire. Thank you, Lucy. Appreciate you being here tonight. I'm going to say one more time that if you haven't listened to us before, you may not realize an important part of American history as it relates to the representative republic, the constitutional republic that we have. There was a point in the Constitutional Convention where talks and discussion was halted, where the entire convention almost broke down, where people almost went home empty-handed from the Constitutional Convention. The last chance to save the Republic, the Constitutional Convention. The Articles of Confederation had totally failed. The Republic, the Confederacy, was breaking apart. States were on the verge of war with one another in several locations. The United States of America, as it stood then, was done. And they had this last-ditch effort. They had this Constitutional Convention, this convention in Philadelphia, and they all got together and they started talking, and they brought the best ideas, not only from the best minds of the 13 colonies, not only from the constitutions of the already established states, but from the entirety of human history. They brought the best ideas together. And they ran into a stumbling block when it came to representation, when it came to how and why and in what manner the people would be represented. They already knew that the people were to be the sovereign, that each was to be sovereign unto himself, that each was to be as free as possible and responsible for his or her own actions. And they knew that some government was necessary for a free people to remain free. But they jealously guarded the sovereignty of their own states and the sovereignty of the individual. And so we got down to how the individual and the states were to be represented in the government, and there was a breakdown. And people went home angry. And people went home confused. And a last-minute compromise gave us the representative republic that we have today. With full acknowledgement of the sovereignty of the 13 states, with full control and tight reins and specific enumerated responsibilities for the federal government, the cooperative of the 13 states. And they came out with the Constitution that we have today and established a representative republic. That, I tell that story for one reason, and that is so you will know, so you will realize, so you will understand how fundamentally important the representative form of government we have is. Now, what happens in the state of Missouri? In the state of Missouri, the House of Representatives comes in session this term with empty seats. Jason Smith, in a political charade, wins a trip to Washington, D.C. One representative in another political charade and intentionally to diminish the Republican supermajority is appointed by the governor to a minor league position in the Department of Corrections. One representative resigns. One representative has passed away. There are five empty seats in the Missouri House of Representatives. And what happens when there's an empty seat? Well, when there's an empty seat in the House of Representatives, the Constitution says that the governor, and Missouri law reiterates, without delay, has got to issue a writ of special election to fill that seat. Now, there can be some discussion, I guess, about what without delay means, but a year and 34 days is out of the question. An entire legislative session with empty chairs representing a 250,000 Missourians is out of the question. We have a governor who, through his own tyrannical means, has stripped the Republican supermajority. Now, I can understand his frustration with having a supermajority of the other party writing the laws of this state. I can understand his frustration. There would be ample frustration if this were a Republican governor and a Democratic supermajority in the House of Representatives. That's all political, and that's all fine. And the governor can take and appoint all the Republicans he wants to all the positions he wants to try to circumvent that. But then he constitutionally has to issue a writ of special election to fill those seats. He can issue a writ of special election 32 times if he wants to in the legislative session. Have 32 different elections because he appointed 32 people to soft core jobs in the administration and hope, roll the dice and hope that all 32 of those seats get filled with Democrats or independents or anything but those darn Republicans. He can do that if he wants. No problems. It's all politics. It's all, everything's fair in politics, as long as you follow the rules. What he cannot do in the representative republic where we live is leave those seats empty. Disallowing any form of representation for over a quarter million sovereign citizens. He cannot do that, or it looks like he can. And it looks like he can because of this. Mike Moon authored an article of impeachment against the governor for this action, for this unconstitutional action, for willfully failing to fulfill his constitutional obligation, for willfully leaving 285,000 Missourians without any representation at the seat of power. Within days of introducing this article of impeachment, the Speaker of the House, Herr Tim Jones, made it clear to the press that he did not favor impeaching the governor. Oh, yes, what the governor did was darn serious. It was darn serious. But he wasn't sure he favored impeaching him over stripping a quarter million Missourians of their representation in the House. And so this article of impeachment sat and sat and sat. And we were out here in the bushes just waving and screaming and trying to get as much support as we could and sending emails and making phone calls and raising all kinds of hell and who knows why. But suddenly the pressure mounted to a point where Tim Jones says, okay, I'll at least assign this bill to a committee. Now, what committee should I assign it to? Generally, I think that should go to general laws, but I'd rather it didn't. I'd really rather it didn't. I don't particularly like that guy over there, but who can I count on? Who can I count on? Stan Cox. I can count on Stan. I'll send this to the Judiciary Committee. So there he goes, off to the Judiciary Committee. And it sits. And it sits. And it says, we're talking about a bill, ladies and gentlemen, that was introduced in January. And it sits until April. And there's hell raising in the bushes again. And there's phone calls. And there's emails, and there's visits, physical visits to the Capitol saying, what the heck is going on here? And Mike Moon is out begging for support. And so finally, and begrudgingly, Stanley Cox says, okay, we'll have a hearing. Now, when can I schedule this hearing? Let me pull out the calendar. Oh, let's see, a Thursday during the lunch recess. That's a pretty, I wonder how many people will come to a hearing on Thursday at the lunch recess. That'll do it. But people came. People came. People wrote. People sent in witness forms for presence. Stacks and stacks of witness forms for presentation. And the hearing ended, and my understanding is that there was a whip of the committee. A whip is where they actually just kind of take an informal count and say, okay, well, how would you vote if this was to come up for a vote today? How would you vote? Yes, let's bring it up, or yes, let's don't bring it up, because and the whip indicated that this thing would clear committee. And we were all happy. It was a happy day. The articles of impeachment were coming out to the House for a vote. Finally, if you are lucky enough to have a representative in Jefferson City, your personal representative was going to get to weigh in. It might win, it might lose, but your personal representative was going to get to weigh in finally on this bill, if you were lucky enough to have one. But it didn't clear committee, did it? It didn't even get voted on in the committee, did it? Because Stanley Cox conservative Republican Stanley Cox, undocumented Democrat that he is, made a single-handed decision without even conferring with his committee, according to them. I wasn't there. According to them, and certainly not without ever conferring with the sponsor of the bill, all of whom found out that the majority of people on their committee didn't really think what the governor did rose to the level of an impeachable offense. That's it, folks. Stanley Cox gets up one morning, goes to the press, and announces that he's made a decision. He has made a decision that the person who represents you should not even get to weigh in on this article of impeachment, because he's decided that as egregious as what the governor did, it was a bad thing. It was a bad thing. It didn't rise to the level of impeachment. Now, Stanley Cox may or may not be your representative. You may or may not be a constituent of the district that Stan Cox represents, but you are a constituent of any man or woman who has placed themselves in the position to single-handedly make that call for you. And now Stanley Cox, termed out in the House of Representatives, has decided that he's going to run for, did you just hear the story I said? He is going to run for, of all things, a position on the circuit court where he will single-handedly measure people's lives. He doesn't even believe, brothers and sisters, in the basic foundational principles of this nation, and wants to sit in a position where he will make single-handed decisions on people's entire lives. Stanley Cox has sent you a message. So what happens to Mike Moon? Mike Moon, the author of the single most important Stand Up For You, Stand Up For the Quarter Million Unrepresented Missourians, Stand Up For the Constitution of the State of Missouri, Stand Up For the Rule of Law. Well, Stanley Cox and Tim Jones and the powers in Jefferson City have mounted a primary challenge to the most constitutional representative in the state of Missouri. That's right. They reached down into the pool, into the cesspool of Republican power, and drew out the name of Julie Rzyka, wife of the representative that Mike Moon replaced in a special election, because Dawn Rzyka had done exactly what happened to this session, accepted a minor league position in order to thwart, in part, last session's, not this current session, last session's Republican majority. Sold the Republican majority to Jay Nixon for a job in the Democratic administration. Now, that's good for the people of Lawrence County, the people in the 133rd. That's good for them because they got Mike Moon out of the deal. That is not what was bargained for, I guarantee you. And so now they reach down into the cesspool of power for a name that they can throw on the ballot to try to keep Mike Moon out of the batter's box. Brothers and sisters, they're sending you a message. Sit down, they say. Shut up, they say. We're running the show here now. They're sending you a message. They certainly sent Jay Nixon a message, didn't they? It's time for us to send a message. It's time to send a message that can't be missed. All over the state of Missouri, all over the state of Missouri, we have wonderful, well-meaning groups of patriots who gather together, who believe in the sovereignty of the people, exercised through a sovereign state. And we feel frustrated. We feel so darn frustrated all the time. All the time. We can't get a unified message that will resonate with these people. Listen, I'm sorry, but that's the truth. If we had a unified message, they wouldn't have sent you the message of 2 weeks ago. If we had a unified message, they would fear you. Your numbers are good. You have the numbers. Your intent is good. You have a strong, foundational understanding of what's supposed to be going on here. But we can't get a unified message. That's the other thing that makes this the most important issue, brothers and sisters. I go all the time and I speak to liberty groups, to Tea Party groups, to 9/12 groups, to gun groups, to fair tax groups, to Right to Life groups. We speak about state sovereignty, what it means, how we get it, how we keep it, how we exercise it. I talk a lot about the fair tax, but one thing I've noticed is that for every issue for a libertarian, and I use the term libertarian with a small L because to some extent you're all libertarian. As Thomas Jefferson was libertarian, as James Madison was libertarian, but we have these differences that come between us because all of these issues that we all believe in contain some gray areas. And so we have liberty-minded patriots who say, yes, I don't believe abortion is okay, but I believe that it's wrong for the government to tell people they can't do it. Just like I don't believe divorce is okay, or I don't believe putting your mom and dad away because taking care of them doesn't fit your lifestyle is okay, or any of these Christian foundational principles, violating them is not okay, but I don't believe that it's the... And you've got another group of people who say, well, you know, I believe that killing a fetus is killing a human being, and so, yeah, it's something that has to be governed. And you've got this group of people who says, yeah, I believe that everybody should have a right to carry a howitzer down the street if they want to. And you have this group of people who says, I'm all about gun rights, but my God, we can't have people putting claymore mines in their front yard to keep the neighborhood kids out. And you've got all these gray areas. And you... Brothers and sisters, there's no gray area in this issue. A quarter of a million people were denied representation at the seat of power. That's a black and white issue that every patriot group, that every liberty-loving Missourian ought to be gathering around. That is the one issue that makes or breaks the republic in which we live. Taxation without representation was a cry worth spilling blood over. And where are we? Where are we? Where are all the damn patriots? Why don't I hear such an outcry over this issue, over this one issue? I don't care what your favorite issue was this period. 285,000 Missourians didn't even have a voice in it. And now, because someone has the backbone to stand up and say, this isn't right, they're trying to ride him out of town. Where are you on this issue? I don't even want to hear about where you are on life, or where you are on guns, or where you are on Common Core, or where you are on Agenda 21, till I hear from you where you are on this important issue that is everything this country stands for. This country stands or falls on representative government. You know, several centuries before the founding fathers even thought about having children, a philosopher had something to say about what we're talking about. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to deal with that.
You go fast and wrong for right and right and wrong. People on the sample that are just...
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
Quickly now, before we move on, I want to say this is the last episode this week of the Million Dollar Message. You can go to the Facebook page, Million Dollar Message. If you happen to be catching this on a podcast, on an archive, and can't get in live to make your pledge, you can go to the Facebook page, Million Dollar Message, and find the addresses, find the website to do what we're talking about doing. It's 347-677-1835, folks. I'm Dave. This is the Hour of Truth on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Listen, every week on Tuesday night on Missouri Grassroots Radio, you can tune in right here and hear Cynthia Davis's show. Cynthia is a hoot, and she's a straight talker, and she's a principled person who is active in the Constitution Party of Missouri, who is run for several offices, and who represented a good chunk of Missourians for a good number of years. Homefront is the name of her show, and she talks every week about the very foundational building block of a free nation, and that is the family unit, and the attack nowadays on that family unit. Cynthia has, I'm telling you, I'm jealous. Cynthia has access to the best guests, the doctors, the authors, the lawyers, the people on the national scene who are out there fighting the good fight every day. You won't be sorry you tuned in on Tuesday nights. Then on Wednesday nights, along comes Lisa Payne Nager with the Culture Vigilante Hour. Lisa is all about the culture of conservatism, what it means to be a conservative. Now, I'm not a conservative, but I learn a lot every time I listen to Lisa about what makes these conservative people tick, tick, tock, tick, tock. She's fluent. She is convicted, and she has an entertaining show every Wednesday night, the Culture Vigilante Hour. Now, here we are on Saturday night of what is usually a two-night session. I spend 4 hours with you every week on Friday night and Saturday night, and we talk about state sovereignty. You know, a lot of people don't really get to this very day what state sovereignty means. And we talk about that, and we discuss it. And we're going to launch into a little bit of that right now, because it so ties into what we've been talking about since we started tonight. There are a lot of people who feel like the federal government belongs to us, but it doesn't. See, the federal government belongs to the 50 states. Now, our state belongs to us. That's true. The state of Missouri belongs to the people of the state of Missouri. It was that way with the state, the subunit of the Confederacy, long before there was a constitution. The state government belongs to the sovereign people of the state, and we have a constitution that protects that for us. And you and I can change that constitution almost overnight because we own it. Those clowns in Jefferson City don't own it. We own it. Can you and I change the Constitution of the United States? No. 38 states and only 38 states can change the Constitution of the cooperative of those states. So it all boils down to state sovereignty. Does our state, in conjunction with the cooperative of 49 other states, own the federal government? Well, lately, no. No. And the only way to get that back is to find states that will band back together into the cooperative and stand up to each other in the form of Washington, D.C. and say, we are the sovereign state of Missouri, and you may dictate to us how we mint money or that we can't mint money, and you may dictate to us that we can't charge each other money for trade, and you may dictate to us the things that we said in this document. You could dictate to us through the representation of us and the 49 others. But you don't run our schools. We do. The sovereign people of the state of Missouri. You don't run our state. You don't tell us about guns and medical care and Medicaid and food stamps and welfare. You don't tell us about Common Core and Agenda 21 and sustainable living. You don't tell us about how to handle our waterways and our lakes and our streams and our forests. You don't tell us anything but those specific powers we gave to you, because we are sovereign in those things. Now, sadly, Missouri is a long, long way from being ready to do that. It only takes a short look at the last 5 months in Jefferson City to see that we are a long, long way from being able to stand up and say, don't tread on me, Uncle Sam, because I am the show me state. So, in order for state sovereignty to become a reality, in order for the sovereign people of Missouri to band together into a sovereign statehood that is ready to stand up and take its place at the table of the interstate cooperative we call the federal government, we better get some things straight here. You better get straight what your responsibility is. It, like it or not, is your responsibility to see that something happens for those 485,000 Missourians who didn't have a voice. Now, minus six centuries, a fellow named Aristotle surmised that any free people living together in a free society would destroy themselves and their society as an inevitability. And here's what this crazy old man said. He said that human beings are depraved animals. They seek pleasure above responsibility. They seek immorality above morality. And so given the freedom to do so, they would over time reach a point where through sheer decadence and depravity, they destroy their society, or through the very need to have some control exercised over that depravity, they would give up their freedom. I'm telling you, we hear a lot from the Christian right, a group who I consider allied but wrong, as a general rule. And when I say the Christian right, I'm talking about those who would govern because the Bible told me so. You know, who would write laws based on because the Bible told me so. We hear a lot from these folks about George Washington and James Madison, and once in a while they even throw in a quote from TJ himself, where they say, paraphrasing here, freedom and liberty are only for a moral people. These guys are not crying for a government dictated from the religious script. They are not crying for a Christian nation. They are suggesting to you that there is no separation between freedom and the exercise thereof and the acceptance of responsibility, of moral and ethical responsibility for the acts of your freedom. Are you following me there? You cannot separate any form of democratic government, whether that democratic government be in the form of a representative republic or a direct democracy. You cannot separate that from the responsibility that an individual holds for both their own actions and for the actions of the society as a whole. When you do, you are headed down Aristotle's road of self-destruction. And we're there. We're there because you don't care, do you, that 285,000 Missourians were unrepresented at the seat of power. It wasn't you. You had your representative. You have a moral and ethical responsibility for those people in our representative republic. Because, brothers and sisters, like it or not, Stanley Cox speaks for you. Like it or not, Tim Jones speaks for you. This is the sovereign state of Missouri, and you are sovereign here. What are you going to do about it? It's time to send a message to these people that can't be missed by these people. $100,000 $10 bills is a message that can't be missed. It's not a message to Stanley Cox. Yes, it is. But not exclusively. It's not a message to Mike Moon. We support you. Of course it is, but not exclusively. It's a message to the legislature of 2015. You speak for us, and you watch your words. You speak for me, so you watch your mouth. You are there for me, so I'm watching you. That's it. 347-677-1835. We need $10. We need a $10 bill to support Mike Moon against an attack by the tyranny that wants to say, I speak for David Court. And we want a $10 bill to say no to the Stanley Coxes of the Missouri legislature, to say, we're done with you. We're taking over. We are the people of the state of Missouri, and we're back. We're back. Until you're ready to take your state back, you are far, far from ready to stand up to Washington. I don't give a damn how many ARs you have in your kitchen. I don't give a darn how much ammunition you've got piled up in the attic. Till you take your state back, you are a far cry from being ready to take on the federal government. Till you take your state back, you are a far cry from anything envisioned by Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and George Washington and Benjamin Franklin. Till you're ready to say, I am sovereign for me, and Missouri speaks for me, you aren't ready to assume the responsibility of being a citizen of this great state. And that comes down to whether or not you're ready to tell a guy like Stan Cox, we're done with you. And whether or not you're ready to tell, you know, I have so many Republican friends who I value, who I really value, and who were so disappointed by Mitt Romney and the John McCain, but who hold on for dear life and say, we've got to work this thing from the inside. We've got to work from the committee level. We've got to take our party back. You know, a third party isn't the answer. We've got to salvage this thing back into the Republican Party of Ronald Reagan, back into the Republican Party that it's supposed to be, back into the principles that founded this country. What are you waiting for? I mean, if that's where you're at, what the hell are you waiting for? You've got a guy in Jefferson City who single-handedly sent you the message that it is Republican okay to deny 485,000 people any representation at the seat of power. What are you waiting on? You've got a party that attacks a guy because he's wanting to stand up to the governor of this state and say, no, you can't do that. You've got a party that lynches people who stand up for what's right. What are you waiting for? Where is your voice? Where is your message? This is it, folks. It's the bottom of the ninth, and we're losing. We are getting beat bad. Pinch hitter. You are the pinch hitter. You're called up to make this thing work. What's your message tonight? This is it, folks. We're in the last hour of this week. This is the altar call, brothers and sisters. 347-677-1835. Get your message out there. Get this message loud and clear. Because it's this or nothing. This is the most important issue of this year. So, what are you going to do? Stanley Cox sent you a message. Are you going to respond? Tim Jones sent you a personal message. You don't matter. 485,000 Missourians don't matter to us. So they don't matter to you. What you think doesn't matter to us. It doesn't. I don't care if you do have a representative up here. He's not important enough to vote on this one. Why don't I hear an outcry? If you're libertarian or a member of the Constitution Party, this is more in line with your expectations. But you better understand, Stanley Cox speaks for you. You better understand that you just sent Jay Nixon the message loud and clear that what he did is okay. Crazy, crazy, crazy things are going on, folks. We are in those days that Aristotle talked about. The life of this republic is almost gone. And you have a responsibility to send a message right now. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about this just a little bit more, and then we're going to log off for tonight and call it a week. We'll be back next week with another version of the Million Dollar Message. Not another version, but just a replay of this. Three nights. We'll be back Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night next week looking for 100,000 $10 bills.
You see the lambs in the ghetto who worship their Geppetto, believing it never seems the strings they think bind them. So we write to our congressmen with bleeding pins of the sorrow within and pretend they just send tickets to the latest Tom Hanks show. Welcome.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for grass fire alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
Till cold climb, come springtime, so let me hear you say,
look here. I don't know. 347-677-1835. It's 347-677-1835 to get your voice heard. I think that most of the people listening tonight follow politics fairly closely. And if you do, you can flash back with me to the last 3 weeks. You can flash back with me to the primaries that have been going on in the several states. Without fail, one after another, after another, after another, reports to us every Wednesday morning about the shellacking that the Tea Party is taking. Incumbent after incumbent after incumbent after incumbent is beating Tea Party challengers in the race to Washington, D.C. It's not going to change, folks. You are not going to take this federal government back with a local Tea Party candidate bumping up against Roy Blunt. You are not going to take this federal government back as a servant of the states with a local Tea Party candidate bumping up against Billy Long. You are not going to do it with a local Tea Party candidate bumping up against Claire McCaskill. It's not going to happen ever, ever. The only way it's ever, ever going to happen is when the state of Missouri is ready and willing to take its place at the table of the cooperative of states and say to the federal government, we are the United States of America. Here, we've told you what you can do. Now you back down and give us back the rest. You're not going to fix this thing at the federal level in an election or two. You're not going to fix this thing at the federal level, I'm sorry to tell you folks, with Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and 40 like them. You've got 1,300 damn departments up there making laws that no legislator knows anything about. You got some bald-headed guy sitting in a room with no windows telling you what kind of toilet you can buy. You're not going to fix that with a Ted Cruz and a Rand Paul. You're going to fix that when the state of Missouri is ready and willing to take its place at the table of states and say, no. No, sovereign Missourians can buy any damn kind of toilet they want. No, sovereign Missouri citizens can have any kind of guns they want. No, sovereign Missouri citizens don't do Common Core in their schools. No, sovereign Missouri citizens don't listen to you when it comes to Medicaid. No, sovereign Missouri citizens take care of themselves. And we're a long, long ways from that. When we got Stanley Cox and Tim Jones speaking for you, listen, these guys and ladies set up there January, February, March, April, and half of May, and what is it they come away with? What is the landmark piece of legislation? A penny per $100 tax decrease. What? A tenth of a percent income tax decrease beginning in 2017? That's your landmark piece of legislation? Oh, yeah, but we overrode the governor on it. What? That's your political victory? A tenth of a percent? That's your voice to the sovereign citizens of Missouri here. 5 months later, we got you a tenth of a percent? That's your answer to 485,000 unrepresented Missourians, brothers and sisters. We got you a tenth of a percent. That's your landmark message to a 250,000 disenfranchised Missouri citizens. We got you a tenth of a percent. Meanwhile, the guy who tries to stand up for you, who tries to say, please let me speak for you, who tries to say, listen, this ain't okay, you're going to let him get thrown under the bus by these scoundrels? Maybe so. Maybe so. I'm not giving up. I mean, you think you can ignore me and I'll just go away? I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to stand for what's right. You know, if Mike Moon is nothing else, he's an example to me of someone who's willing and ready and able to stand for what's right. No matter how tired, no matter how frustrated, no matter how beleaguered and attacked, no matter how much some days he probably feels like breaking down and crying over the apathy, over the seeming indifference to everything that people in this great nation bled and died for. And here you are, off somewhere in the nether reaches of the state of Missouri, far, far away from the 133rd Legislative District, and perfectly willing to say, not my doing, not my concern. Doesn't matter to me what they do down there in Podunk, Southwest Missouri, where the hillbillies live. And meanwhile, Stanley Cox speaks for you. And meanwhile, Jay Nixon sends you a message. And the Springfield News Leader sends you a message. And the Kansas City Star sends you a message. And the federal government continues to run down here and tell you that in Miller, Missouri, where 600 people live, you've got to pay $3.5 million because the amount of ammonia coming out of your sewage treatment plant is 0.001 over some federal limit. And that's all right with you. That's all right with you. Because it's all right with you that denying a quarter of a million Missouri citizens representation at the seat of power doesn't quite rise to the level of constitutional indifference. Doesn't quite rise to the level of malfeasance necessary to say, you're fired. Just doesn't quite make it over that wire where we're ready to say, enough. We're taking over. We're back. I'm telling you what, I'm waiting to hear or see. You know, when Stanley Cox made his announcement that there was going to be no impeachment because he had single-handedly decided that it was perfectly okay that 285,000 Missourians didn't have a representative in Jefferson City. There was an effort to force that bill out of the committee with an instrument called a discharge petition. It needed 55 signatures. 55 signatures to force the committee to bring the articles of impeachment to the floor for a vote. Now, you think Mike Moon's not your problem? You think Stanley Cox isn't your problem? They couldn't find 55 people. 55 people in the House of Representatives who would say, that out of the committee and let us decide. They couldn't find 55 people in a Republican supermajority who thought it wasn't okay for Nixon to deny a 250,000 people representation. You think this doesn't affect you? I don't care where the hell you are in this state. You think this doesn't affect you? They couldn't find 55 people in a Republican supermajority who would tell the governor, who would even bring to a vote the idea of telling the governor that it's not okay to destroy the principles of the Democratic Republic. Now, your representative, unless his name's Stanley Cox, is going to say, well, I was in favor of that. He's going to say, well, I signed the discharge petition. He or she is going to say, well, you know, I would have done it. We're going to see that petition. We're going to see whose names were there. I called my representative and said, did you sign the discharge petition? I was told yes. But 55 out of all the numbers in the House of Representatives, wow. They got 22. 22. What are the odds? What is there, 169 districts? Somebody help me out. 169, I believe. 169, of course, five of them are empty, so make that 164. Out of 164, out of a supermajority of 164, 22 people thought that at least the House of Representatives ought to get to vote on this thing. Gosh, we're in trouble. We're in some serious, serious deep doo-doo here, folks. 22 people think it's not okay for the governor to disenfranchise 250,000 people. And so far, in three nights, your message has pretty much been the same. It's pretty much been, this republic ain't worth $20 to me. It's pretty much been 163, thank you very much, Lucy, 163 minus 5 is 158. So out of 158 active representatives, they couldn't find 22. Or they did find 22. They couldn't find a 23rd, though. Wow, that's sad. Remember what Aristotle said? About a republic and its lifespan? We're just about ready for the shovels here. And we can't find 100,000 sovereign Missouri citizens who care. Maybe it's time to just turn out the lights and go home. What do you think? What do you think? You know, I'm going to sidetrack a bit here, but I am so tired. I'm so tired of the whole thing anyway. Did anybody follow the last 10 days of the legislative session? Well, you didn't have to follow it very closely because it was kind of a summer rerun of the last 10 days of the last 10 legislative sessions. You get all these bills You know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, 500 bills introduced in January and February. Read, somebody stands up on the floor for 2 months, January and February, and says, I have a bill. I have a bill. I don't want people to have bird baths in their front yard deeper than 6 inches because my cat might drown, you know. And bill after bill after bill, and then some good bill here and there, some anti-common core bill, some Second Amendment Preservation Act bill, some good stuff comes floating in among the rubbish and crap in the cesspool of Jefferson City, and then they all go play golf, and then they all go off to a Cardinals game, and then they all dismiss for the holiday, and then they all take a midterm break, and then they all do lunch, and then they all have a bunch of hearings, and nobody does anything. And then in the last 10 days of the session, they're there till midnight, cramming stuff out faster than you can keep up with it, faster than they can keep up with it. People don't have a clue what they're voting on. They're jamming. Have you been? Do you Twitter? Do you Twitter? Do you follow the Missouri legislation on this Twitter thing? I'm telling you, boom, 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 boom. Every 15 minutes, we've just passed this, we're calling up this now, we've just passed this, we're calling up this now, we've just passed this, we're calling up this now. After 5, 6, 7 months of doing nothing, nothing. They just start writing their bills for next session's pre-filing here next month. Next month, bills that will come up in the last 15 minutes of 2015 session, in May of 2015, they're starting to write them now. This was a perfect example. This was a perfect example. Mike Moon introduced this piece of legislation in January. It finally made a committee in April. And finally had a hearing in May. What the heck kind of governance is that? Why are you so willing to put up with that year after year after year after year? I mean, This one single article of impeachment was the most important thing there. But it's just another part of the overall symptomology of a sick, sick, sick republic. Year after year after year, this crap goes on. Bills after bill after bill after bill. Introduced in January and February, and then laying there dead until the last 45 minutes of a legislative session. Nobody even talked about it. Nobody even debated it. Nobody even cared. And we get to the end of it all after bam, 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 bill, 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 bill in the last 2 weeks. And the landmark piece of legislation of the entire session is a tenth of a percent tax cut. A tenth of a percent tax cut that takes effect in 2017. My gosh, what is going on here? And the most important piece of legislation introduced in the entire session is killed by one guy who thinks it's okay that in all of these other bills that passed the House of Representatives, a quarter of a million people didn't even have a vote. Give us a call tonight, right now. You know, raise your hand if you're out there in the congregation. No, not that. Give us a call right here tonight. If you are one of those people who didn't have a representative, if you are one of those people who had an empty chair at the table of governing, if you're one of those people whose representative's desk was vacant, give us a call and let us know how that feels. Tell the rest of us how it feels to pay taxes to a government where you don't even have a voice. What does that feel like, do you suppose? Never been in that position before. I don't know. So, where do we go from there? Ron is going to give us an idea of what's going on, I think. Have we got Ron? No. Ron's dropped off. Ron's back. Hey, Ron, it's Dave. How you doing?
Hey, Dave, how's it going? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Where are you from, Ron?
I'm from Missouri.
From Missouri? Where at?
I'm down by Branson.
Down by Branson. All right. Love it down there.
Down by Branson.
I'm up here in Springfield myself. Yeah. I'm close. I'm up here in Springfield. So what's on your mind, Ron?
Not much. I mean, I heard you talking, kind of going at it. It's kind of funny. I'm a radio show host myself, the Ron Reich Show on BTR, and I talk politics. That's what I do.
Uh-huh.
And I have a, you know, I have a lot of, you know, people on my show, and we do a lot of research on what's going on, and that's the bad part. I hate doing what I do. You know what I mean? Because we find out so much things that are bad, and it's not cool. You know, the state of Missouri, I don't know, they're kind of being comfortably dumb right now, you know, compared to what's going on in the country right now. I mean, I'm sure you're aware of the American Spring happening right now in D.C.
I am.
The H.R. Are you? Okay, cool. You also remember the H.R. 2847 bill that just got passed. And then also the FDA just approved microchips for pharmaceutical pills. Wow. So
what do you think, what do we ought to do about that?
Well, there ain't much we can do. They're going to do what they're going to do regardless of what we say. I mean, the American Spring that's happening on D.C., great. I'm glad to see people stand up being patriotic with the Constitution. The other part is people need to wake up and realize we're dealing with a criminal cartel. You think what they think it is, you know? And I've proven that many times with the birth certificate. So, you know, as far as constitutional rights go, they never went away. People never knew how to use them. They've never taught that. because you've been taught to be more or less stupid. You know what I mean?
They don't want
smart people. They want obedient people. That's how it works.
What constitutional rights, Ron?
What do you want to talk about?
What constitutional rights didn't go away?
None of them.
Okay. How about the 16th Amendment and the tax on income? Is that a constitutional rights problem?
Well, sure. But okay. All right. The Constitution, the original version of the Constitution, is still concrete right now as we speak. Okay.
No, it's not. It's not. That's why, it's broken.
Okay.
It's broken. The Constitution itself. That's why we need an amendment convention. If the original Constitution, if it was just a matter of, well, the Constitution's a great thing, let's just follow it. Let's just make these people follow the Constitution.
Right.
Then we wouldn't need any amendments.
No, you're misconceiving the fact of what I'm trying to tell you.
Let me ask you one question.
Okay. You have a birth certificate.
Yeah.
Okay, guess what? You are a corporation. That's how they do what they do. Okay? In 1929, during the Great Depression of this country, they had to come up with some collateral to get the loan to go to war, the Second World War, right? They used us as the collateral. That's how the birth certificate was born, okay? Now, we have been engulfed in paying a debt, okay? Period. As long as there's war, we pay a debt. We're in debt to these people, okay? Now, guess what? The income tax law should have been expunged after the Second World War was over. Okay? Income tax should have been over with. But it never stopped. As long as we're at war, you still pay income tax. And, I mean, you got to do the history. I mean, you got to do the research I've done. But that's what it is. The birth certificate has turned us into all corporations. We don't have no rights. You know what I'm saying? There's two of you. All right? One has a constitutional right. Second has commercial right. See what I'm saying?
No,
and it's how
I
they
sure don't.
Change it. You don't get it? All right, man, do some research on the birth certificate, and you'll completely catch what I'm talking about, how the game is played. I've said this for 36 years. And actually, in 31 years I studied law, but this past five years ago, I got my birth certificate out of a file in my cabinet, in my drawer, which I wasn't looking for. You know what I mean? It was just there. I was looking at it, you know, mom, dad did this job, mom did this job. And I was looking at it, you know, just reminiscing of the old days, and I noticed at the bottom of it, in the frame, in this little frame picture it has on it, it says American Banknote Company. Why would a fake note company have anything to do with a birth certificate?
Wait a second. I don't know. Somewhere in the vodka and orange juice, I've lost part of what you just said. At the bottom of your birth certificate was what?
American Banknote Company.
American Bank.
Very fine print, but I found it.
Okay.
What does that tell you? Why would a bank note company be printing a birth certificate?
Where did they come together? I can't imagine. The American Bank Note Company didn't print mine. Maybe it's part of the company that helped your dad with the payments to the hospital or something. I don't know.
No. Look, man, I tell you what. I'm here on your show. Just follow me. I'm following you now, okay?
Yeah.
Just go to YouTube and type in birth certificate, and then you'll catch on.
Okay.
I didn't believe it either. I thought it was bullshit. I don't know. Ain't no way. You know, that cannot be. And trust me, it'll blow your mind. I guarantee it.
Okay.
I guarantee it.
All right. Good call, Ron. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So we get to a point where the states are not in any position, obviously, to assert their sovereignty on the federal government, because we, the sovereign people of the state, have totally lost sight of who's speaking for us. That's where we're at. And sadly, without you and you, I don't see a way around that. And I know about me, but I'm not yet convinced about you. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to wrap up the night with a couple of announcements about what's coming up the rest of the week on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'll be back next week on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday making exactly the same appeal to you that I made tonight.
Come the archers, come the infantry, come the archers of hell. This is why we fight, why we violate. This is why.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
Gonna make it, baby, if we try.
You know, there are, in U.S. history, some pivotal times. I'm telling you right now that except for the unique point in history, now think with me just for a moment. The Articles of Confederation were crumbling. The Revolution was recently over. The United States was unable to service its debt because there was no federal power to force the states to fess up their share. And at the same time, the anti-federalists like Patrick Henry were resisting any attempt to cede any level of state sovereignty. And if it were not for that unique period in history, we would not have a constitution. At the end of the Civil War, the southern states were scrambling to get back in. The 14th, 15th amendments to the United States Constitution, which began our slide into the Progressive Era, could not have happened except for the unique pivotal point in history where they occurred. The Second World War and the Great Depression that brought us the 16th and 17th Amendments, decimating state sovereignty and the sovereignty of the individual by taxing income, could not have happened except for that unique point in history. We sit now at a unique point in history. Our destruction is all but complete. It's now or never. We sit at one of those unique points in history where the only salvation for this great republic is for the states to once again rise on their hind legs and say, we are back. The only salvation for this republic is for us, the people, to say, we're taken over again. Anything could have gone wrong at that first unique point in history, and everything would have come undone. But anything could have gone right, and the greatest republic on the face of the earth in the history of mankind was born. We're at a unique, critical turning point in history. It can go good. It can go very, very good. And it can go very, very wrong. But it's going to go one or the other. I'm telling you right now that if those people in Philadelphia had not walked out with the greatest contract to that point in history ever written, that within 5 years the United States would have been torn to pieces from within and from without. It was going to go either very, very good or very, very bad. You know, I hate to lay this at your feet, but that's where it lays. Look down there at your children and grandchildren wrapped in blankets on the living room floor, waiting for you to pick them up and carry them to bed. I hate to lay that at your feet, but that's where it lays. That's where it lays. Cynthia will be along Tuesday. Lisa will be along Wednesday. I'll be back Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week. I want to thank you for tuning in. If you're listening to the podcast, I want to thank you for taking the time to go back and catch it. Catch us live next Thursday. Call in. Give us a chat. Have a couple of vodkas and a little bit of orange juice before you call, and read the company name on the frame that you framed your birth certificate in. You know, maybe the Johnstown woodworking plant or something. Call in and let us know who framed your birth certificate, will you? Good night. We love you all, and peace.
There are so many contradictions in all these messages we send. How do I get out of here? Where do I be?